from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Hope you're doing well. We got an off weekend, but there's still a lot to talk about in the racing world, and happy to do it with you every Friday afternoon on thegamenashville.com and across 102.5 The Game over the weekend as well. You can catch us, Chase on Game on Twitter, and subscribe in Apple iTunes. Find us on SoundCloud and also on thegamenashville.com. So many ways to find the show. Wrapping up things from the Michigan International Speedway, Clint Bowyer. They gamble. The rain comes. It's a rain-shortened race, but a win is a win, my friends. And Clint Bowyer was able to get his second win of the season. And just a huge weekend for him and for Stuart Haas Racing, finishing 1-2-3. You had Clint Bowyer, the winner. Kevin Harvick comes home second. Kurt Busch comes home third. Things are really starting to come together for Stuart Haas Racing, and that's something we're going to talk about in today's show, because it's been really cool to see now that Tony Stewart has been out of the car for a full season, and now the second full season, he's full on owner mode. He's not racing anymore. Gene Haas, of course, is a big part of things. Greg Cipitelli as well. But Clint Bowyer was the one that you really looked at and kind of thought, okay, was this the right move? I mean, he has, you know, some success with Richard Childress Racing. He moves on to Michael Waltrip Racing, where he has, you know, one really good year there, and then things kind of get out of hand, and that's how things ended with Michael Waltrip Racing, with the controversies and stuff. He has the lame duck year where he's running for Harry Scott Motorsports as he waits for Tony Stewart to get out of the car, and then he joins Stuart Haas Racing last year, and things just didn't really click for him. Didn't get a win. Finished, I believe, it was 18th in points. And, you know, I think that you kind of wondered, all right, what's going on with Clint Bowyer? But then this year, he already has two wins. He had a win earlier in the year at Martinsville, and now you have this win coming up at Michigan. And, yes, it was strategy. Yes, it was rain shortened. But at the same time, he was able to get it done. He's very much in the playoffs now. And I think that all things seem to be clicking for that 14 team. Now, we already know what Kevin Harvick and the four bunch have done. I mean, they have five wins. They have the all-star win. I mean, they're definitely clicking on all cylinders. But Kurt Busch, you know, he's been running consistently as well. And I think that to see what those three cars, and then I'll even get to Eric Almirola in a second, because I think he's been a good addition. He's made that 10 car relevant again. He's been running well. We'll talk a little bit more about him later on, because we're going to do some awards through 15 races. But even he has been having a consistent year. But I mean, you look at the standings right now. Kurt Busch sits in seventh, doesn't have a win yet, but coming off the Daytona 500 last season, it wasn't really that big of a year for him. Kevin Harvick was the only one that you really were talking about with Stuart Haas Racing. Now you could potentially be in a situation by year's end, all four drivers will have wins and maybe even multiple wins. I think Kurt Busch will find victory lane a couple times, and I would not be surprised if Eric Almirola doesn't find victory lane a couple of times. But let's shift back to Clint Bowyer, because he has started to figure it out. Now with the two wins, he's in a very good position for the playoffs, and you can tell that he's back to his old self. He's having a lot of fun, and he even said after the race that things are really just starting to come together.
To be able to compete at that level, and that level is a championship-caliber team, you've got to be able to unload week in and week out with cars capable of getting the job done. And part of that is you know, most of that is the work that's put in before the week even starts. It's months ahead preparing that car for any given weekend. Then it's the communication leading into the race. Then it's communication through Friday, through qualifying, through Saturday's practice sessions, and collectively putting that all together for Sunday. We're starting to do that. We're starting at that notebook that we all talk about is finally starting to resonate to where you can look at it. Like, I can go back and look at last year and like, all right, I remember that. Now, we're not going to do that. You know, we'll be better there. We got to learn from that mistake. We got to be better there, such, you know, so on and so forth. Those are the things that we're starting to pick up on.
Things are consistent for Clint Boyer in that 14 team. I mean, things have come together. You look at his stats, the two wins, he's got four top fives, eight top tens, only one DNF. He's led 308 laps on the year. And I just think that shows you, after finishing 18th in points last year with only six top tens, to show for it and no wins, they've just come a long way. The whole organization has come a long way. I mean, you can look at the Fords and what they have done, and you know, that's a factor for sure. But I think that just Stuart Haas Racing in general, they have put it all together to make all four of those cars competitive. You know, everyone wants to look at Kevin Harvick, but Clint Boyer, I think, has probably been one of the most consistent guys in NASCAR, and then the team itself sitting now fifth in points with the runs that he has had. And, you know, he said in post race that there have been times this year where things have kind of, you know, come down a little bit, but they're also able to bounce back. So to get his second win of the year, I think was huge for Clint Boyer. Kevin Harvick has another good day, finishes second in this race. And, you know, look, being honest, if this thing had kept going, if the rain had not come, Kevin Harvick probably would have gotten his sixth win of the year. I think he probably would have caught Clint Boyer. But he talked about his day.
Yeah, it was a good day for us. You know, our pit crew was solid. Rodney made a good call there in the middle of the second stage to keep the track position and be able to drive away and get the stage win. They had a good pit stop to close out there, and the 14 just gambled and rolled the dice that the rain must have been going to come, and he was able to keep me on the bottom there just by, you know, a little bit on the restart, and then it was just going to take me a few laps to work back by. But he did a good job hanging on to his car, and the gamble paid off for him.
And you hear the praise there from Kevin Harvick, and those two racing against each other. You know, they were teammates at Richard Childress Racing, now teammates again at Stuart Haas. But the big thing is they're friends. I mean, they are big time friends off the track, and to see that competitiveness between the two of them is really fun to watch. I think it's good for the sport. And, you know, Kevin Harvick continues to have consistency and success as he looks to win his second championship. Kyle Busch, a lot can be said for him as well. He finished fourth in the race behind his brother. So he leads the standings. If you look at points, he has a 75-point lead on Kevin Harvick. Now, Harvick is the number one seed because he has more wins. But I think that, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking about it being a two-horse race, and now we're starting to see things even out and other drivers be able to put their stamp on things and to get there in the mix. And I think that Clint Boyer is one of those guys now with two wins, because there's not a lot of guys with two wins. I mean, you have the Harvicks and Kyle Busches of the world, but when you really look at the standings, Boyer has two wins, Truex has two wins, and that's it. For multiple race winners, I mean, it's those two outside of Harvick and Kyle Busch. I mean, not a lot of guys have found victory lane this year outside of those two. So to see Kevin Harvick still have that consistency, but Clint Boyer has been able to hang tough with Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, I think that just speaks volumes for him. And Clint Boyer talked about racing his buddy Kevin Harvick.
It's just your friend, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the guy that when I came into this sport at RCR and went to the first test, he's the guy that was there. You know, I had no clue what the hell I was doing, and he helped me get my feet underneath of me. I think he knew right off the bat that I was very green, and took me under his wing and helped me out. And he's the guy right now. He's him and Kyle Busch are the two that are shining the most, and to be able to you know, start at a deficit, try to run that track bar up as far as it'd go, because you know you're going to be tight on two tires, to try to hold on to that thing for as long as you can, praying for the rain, is what it took, you know. But it took that gutsy call from Mike to be able to put me in that situation, and then to try to hold that Grizzly Bear off, because, man, he was coming quick.
And look, even Clint Bowyer admits it, that just how strong Kevin Harvick has been, and he was able to hold him off. You know, if the rain hadn't have come, probably would have been a different story. But as I said at the very top, a win is a win, and Clint Bowyer is going to take that. Finishing third to round out the Stuart Haas Racing trifecta was Kurt Busch.
We had an excellent day all the way through. No big mistakes, no big rough moments. And pit stops were solid, adjustments were solid. Restarts, I'd say three quarters of the time I was on the inside lane, so that might have been a little bit where we were pinned down. But you have to make do with what you have and how the chips fall. And so I'm happy with our effort today. And, you know, to finish third, rain short, and of course you always want to go back racing again. But to see the two cars in front of me at the end, the 4 and the 14, that's a big day for Stuart Haas Racing. It's very special to finish 1, 2, 3. I tried to get to your outside when we were on the track, maybe get a picture with 14, 4, and 41 on the front straightaway to symbolize such a special day here in Michigan, and to win, you know, at Stuart Haas for Ford, 1, 2, 3, it's a huge day in Detroit.
So Kurt Busch with another good finish, coming home third. He has been one of those guys that has been consistent this year. Only three top fives, but eight top tens out of 15 races. He's won a couple of stages as well. So he is putting himself in position to be able to compete for wins. And look, as I said, I believe he's going to get a win, and maybe more than that. You can't expect Harvick and Kyle Busch to win everything down the stretch. I mean, with Martin Truex Jr. running better, you have Clint Bowyer now with the two wins. Kurt Busch is running well. And look, Jimmy Johnson has started to put some things together as well, where he's been running better. So you would expect, as the summer months continue, you're going to have other names that you're going to be talking about getting wins, and we're doing that this week. As we wrap up the first segment, though, I do have to say this about Clint Bowyer, and we'll continue to talk about him and Stuart Haas Racing in our next segment, but can you just tell that he's having fun right now? That the fun Clint is back?
We're going to drink a little bit tonight, by the way. Yes. Yes, that's going to happen. I know you guys are questioning it. It's going to happen tonight.
Just a little?
I drink more of Kevin Harvick's sponsors than I'm pretty sure he does. It's a hell of a sponsor. There's nothing better. I have no idea where we went with this, but there's nothing better than having a sponsor like that in Victory Lane to be able to celebrate. That is awesome.
NASCAR does a great job of posting these post-race press conferences, and so I go back and I watch them every week after they're posted to pull audio for the show. And I'm sitting there watching him, and he's just smiling. He's having a good time. He's talking about partying with his crew and making a joke about Kevin Harvick sponsors and stuff like that. To me, when a race car driver is feeling that good, that's dangerous for the competition, because he's going to go out there, and now he has those two wins. He's locked into the playoffs. It's reckless abandon at times. He's going to go for wins. The whole checkers or wreckers mentality, I think, is something that Clint Bowyer can have right now, because he can afford to make those gambles, like, you know, going with two tires and ultimately beating the rain and winning the race. That is something to watch for with him as the season goes on. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, I do want to focus more on Stuart Haas Racing, because it was a historic day for them, finishing 1, 2, 3 in the race. What all has come together with Stuart Haas Racing, and why are things working out so well for them? We'll discuss that, and then a little bit later on, we'll have the awards. After 15 races, I'll give out some awards. That's all coming up here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, and TheGameNashville.com. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, TheGameNashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you every Friday afternoon. And this thing hits. We talk NASCAR. We talk racing. And they're off this weekend. It's very rare for them to have an off weekend. And look, that's something that I might get into in future episodes on how I feel about the off weekends. But, you know, they do need to happen every now and then. I just think they could be a little more strategic of how they do it, especially in the summer months, because they can take advantage of being one of the only shows in town. But that's for another day. Today we talk about Stewart Haas Racing. And 1-2-3, Clint Bowyer wins, Kevin Harvick second, Kurt Busch comes home third. And they are having so much success right now, even outside of Kevin Harvick, just because the cars have been running so consistently. And Clint Bowyer, with his two wins on the year, Kurt Busch, I believe, is knocking on the door. And then Eric Almirola as well. He's 11th in points right now. He's been running consistently since taking over that 10 car. And I think you even have to factor in the whole getting to know you portion of the program, which he's going through. And I think once they're kind of past that, which it seems like they're getting close to it, then, you know, they're going to be competing for races as well. So things have really been clicking for Stewart Haas Racing. And here's Clint Bowyer on finishing 1-2-3 in the race at Michigan.
Well, I think that's the coolest thing about it. You know, you're up there and you're looking in the mirror. Even when I was running second, I said it to myself, gosh, this is a moment. We're running 1-2-3 at a track that's an aero track, that's a horsepower track. It's a demanding racetrack on your equipment. You've got to be able to hit your marks and things like that. But when it comes down to sheer speed, 217 mile an hour, we were talking this weekend. That's fast. That's fast in any motorsport. That's really fast in NASCAR. And then when you're on top and you're lined up and it's 1-2-3 with Kevin and Kurt behind you, it's just awesome, you know. And then to be able to get there and give each other hugs and be happy, truly, genuinely happy for one another. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to push you to another level. You know, working together, that communication, pushing each other each week. It's not just Kevin and Kurt and I and Eric. It's our teams. It's our crew chiefs. It's our pit crews. It's everybody. That raises the bar for everybody involved, and it's cool to see.
And you could just tell that those guys all get along. The teams, like the crews, they all get along. Tony Stewart, of course, we know what he brings and is kind of the leader of the group. But Clint and Kevin and Kurt and Eric, they all get along and they have this common bond. Yeah, they're competitors. They're trying to race against one another. They want to win the individually, but they also buy into the fact that you win as a team. And the fact that they're all running well, I think, is why they're having so much individual success. Now, Bowyer goes on to talk about, he's asked about, you know, who you look at as being a big part of this success. And it's a team effort. And a lot of people give Tony Stewart a ton of credit for making that team competitive. And I think we all agree with that the deal he was able to work with Rick Hendrick back when they first started Stewart Haas. And then now with Roush Yates Engines and working with Ford, Tony Stewart has a lot to do with that. But so does Gene Haas. Here's Clint Bowyer.
The last time we won, Martinsville, we was in Haas VF1 Ford, and it's such a cool paint scheme, such a cool thing. Very first one is what that stands for, and it's the man. It's the man that makes it happen at Stewart Haas Racing. Obviously, everybody knows what Tony brought to the table at this thing, and Gene is that rock. He is the rock behind all of us that enables us to go out and perform at our best. It's never a question of what does it take, you know, financially or anything else. It's what does it take to win? What does it take to be better? What does it take to find victory lane? Those are the questions that Gene Haas asks, and that's it. He doesn't talk about, well, that was a good top 10 finish. You know, you could be proud of a good run somewhere. Maybe that was, you know, a track you struggle at. Maybe you run fifth or sixth or something. No call. Winning and winning only is what he does in his industry. And it bleeds through to his employees and everybody at Stewart Haas Racing. Everybody, and now you see him embarking in his Formula One adventures. I mean, it's just amazing what he's done in motorsports in the last few years.
So Gene Haas deserves a ton of credit, because you go back to when it was Haas CNC Racing and they were struggling mightily every week to get out there and compete, but he stuck with it. and, you know, the Haas Automation and his company and everything that he's built. You know, and then he even went through some struggles of his own. And I think for them to be able to overcome all that adversity, get Tony Stewart to buy in and to see something in Gene Haas and say, you know what, this is where I want to be. I want to put my name on this team. Not only was he coming over there to run for championships, which he won, but he was putting his name on the team. And he did that. And it's paid off. They have two championships as a team. I think they're probably knocking on the door of a third. They've won a ton of races. And now to have a 1-2-3 finish, that just shows the dedication that they have as an organization and what they have been able to put together. And I think it's just been tremendous for Stewart Haas Racing. Kurt Busch commented after the race on the 1-2-3 finish as well.
Yeah, we've been consistent this year. We haven't had that super perfect all-star type day. We've just chiseled away at being consistent, not making mistakes, and our day will come. We just have to put ourselves in position more often. You know, one of the times off pit road, I came out in fourth, and then a car stayed out in front of us, and that put me to the fifth spot. And I'm like, well, just one of those times when things just don't quite go your way, but we had a fast car. And again, it's easy to smile and go into this off week and celebrate a Stewart Haas 1-2-3. It's very special.
And I think that's something they will spend the off week doing, because it's building up the consistency. And Kurt Busch, again, he's knocking on the door. I mean, I think he is going to get there. And I think it's just a matter of time. But they, you know, once again, talking about the team and talking about everybody sharing notes and Greg Zipidelli and Tony Stewart, their leadership alongside Gene Haas, I think has made this whole thing click and made it successful. And Greg Zipidelli even got to talk after the race and just said how cool it was finishing 1-2-3.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just awesome. I was saying so many. There's nothing better than winning other than winning on a weekend off. And when you have it 1-2-3, it makes that weekend even better. Enjoy the time off with the families. And, you know what I mean? It's big momentum for our group. It's pretty awesome to see Mike take a chance there. I mean, they had a good car and put himself in, give him the opportunity to win. Kevin was pretty tough there. So I think that was a good call.
And the gamble, you know, he's talking about the crew chief gamble. I think Greg Zipidelli knows a thing or two about gambles as a crew chief, having won championships with Tony Stewart at Joe Gibbs and been able to you know, make those calls, which not always easy, but a crew chief does it. That's why they're paid the big bucks. And ultimately, most of the time, you know, you can have some wins to show for it. Every now and then it's not going to pay off, but you know, sometimes it does. And in this situation, it did. Clint Bowyer gets that win in Stewart Haas Racing 1-2-3. So an incredible weekend for Stewart Haas Racing. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, though, we're going to hand out some awards. They are through 15 races. They have the off weekend. So I figured, you know what? Let's hand out some hardware. We'll do that when we come back. It's Chasing Checkers. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate us. Also, thegamenashville.com and on SoundCloud. We drop a new episode every Friday afternoon, and you can also listen throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. I am Chase McCabe at Chase on Game on Twitter. Join us every Friday afternoon when we drop this bad boy out in the on-demand section of thegamenashville.com. So, I said, going to give away some awards. 15 races in the books. So we're going to do that. And plus, Regan Smith, if you missed that interview from a couple weeks ago, I've put the best portions, mainly about him and his career, together. We'll end the show with that, being the off weekend, so we don't have a race to preview. But we will be back, of course, next week and talk about Sonoma, as race number 16 on the schedule. NASCAR on Fox wraps up their portion of the schedule. And then the next week they're at Chicago. Dale Jr. debuts in the booth. So we, of course, will be talking about that. But got the off weekend, so you can enjoy that. So let's give away some awards. We'll start things out with the MVP. And this one, to me, is a tie. I hate it. It's a cop-out. But right now, as we stand, it is a tie between two guys, Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer. I have Clint Bowyer on the brain, apparently, because of his win. Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, the two MVPs, in my mind, through 15 races. And here's why. When you look at Kevin Harvick, the five wins, he's led 958 laps. He has 12 top 10s, 11 top fives, and, of course, the all-star win. Now, you might hear those numbers and go, he should win it running away. Well, Kyle Busch, four wins, 888 laps led, 12 top 10s, 10 top fives. He's not that far behind Kevin Harvick, and I think, you know, you have two guys just having dominant performances. So this was Kevin Harvick talking about the dominance after he won his fifth race.
Yeah, now it feels like a game. You know, it really does, because of the fact that you want to see how many races you can win. You want to see how many laps you can lead. And you know, we know that we're riding a momentum wave that is hard to come by, and you need to capitalize on it as many times as you can, because it may never come again. I've never had it in my career, and I've been doing this for 18 years. And, you know, these moments are not something that happens very often. And now you need to go, you know, put every detail into a car like you're racing for a championship race in Homestead every week, because it just has that special feel to it. And, you know, it's a good time to be at SHR. They're doing a great job of putting fast race cars on the track. But, you know, I think when you look at a night like tonight, it really shows the experience of the team, because I feel like this is the kind of cars that we had in 2014, but we had a lot of parts failures. We were all new. We made a lot of mistakes and just didn't really know how to deal with it like we do now. And, you know, it's addicting. Now it's a game.
I guess you can call that an MVP acceptance speech from Kevin Harvick, but it's a game to him. Now he's got nothing to lose. I mean, he's in the playoffs. You know, he's got to start thinking that way, that he's got something to lose once he gets to the playoffs. But until then, I mean, he's playing with house money. So they can go after wins and, you know, records and things like that. And he kind of has, I said it earlier in the show about Bowyer, he has that reckless abandon. I mean, he can go out there and try something that he wouldn't if he didn't have any wins or if they were in the playoffs. So I think for Kevin Harvick, now it's just all about going out and having fun. So that's why I put him as a co-MVP right now. And then you look at Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is going to be a Hall of Famer, whether you like him or you don't like him. He really is, because he's won now at every track in his career, and he commented on that after winning the Coca-Cola 600.
Well, somebody already had to give me the bad news and tell me it's only for 100 days, so that sucks. But, you know, certainly pretty cool tonight, and having the opportunity of what I've been able to do and what I've been able to accomplish. We've been talking about it here in this room for a few years now, and we've come oh so close a few times, but was able to finally close the deal out tonight. So feels so good to win here in Charlotte. It's everybody's backyard, they always say, and you know, we live just down the road, so it's so cool to spend a couple weeks at home and to have the family here. And Brexton's birthday, I missed the opportunity to win on his birthday in the truck race last week, so hopefully this repays him a little bit for that. He was pretty jacked in victory lane, so I don't think he cared. He was excited regardless. So just a phenomenal night, though. Adam Stevens and everybody on this Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota was just on it. And that M&M's Camry was fast and wanted to stay up front. And, you know, it was pretty easy to do that with something driving so good.
So, of course, the road course at Charlotte Motor Speedway will be a new track that he will have to go win on, but he's won everywhere. And as I said, he's leading the points by 75 points. Now, he's not leading in wins, but his numbers are comparable with Kevin Harvick. So I could not have them as co-MVP right now. Now, do I think it's going to shake out at some point over the second half of the season? Absolutely. But for now, I have Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch as the co-MVPs. The best young gun. Now, I didn't want to do best rookie because rookies have struggled. So I kind of looked at drivers with less than 3 years of full-time experience. And to me, there's one guy that really pops out, and that's Ryan Blaney. He doesn't have a win yet this year. He got one last year, but three top fives, eight top tens. He's led 444 laps, has four stage wins on the season, and I do think he will find himself in victory lane. He's in his first full season with Penske after running with the Wood Brothers over the past few years. They ran the full season last year, but you know he had some spot duty coming up through the ranks. This kid's very talented, and I think he's destined to do some big things. And of course, his family is our racing family. Dave Blaney was a longtime driver in the Cup Series and has a you know a dirt background and things like that. So he's grown up in a garage. He's grown up racing, and it shows. And he's just a guy that goes out there every week and he competes. I think he's the best young driver on the circuit right now. And I know Kevin Harvick might disagree with me. Kyle Larson is probably right there with him. But I kind of look at Kyle Larson now as a veteran, and for this exercise, I think Ryan Blaney is at the top of the list right now. Most underrated, Joey Logano. Third in the points right now. He has one win, five top fives, 12 top tens, does not have a DNF. And with the new rules that you can't fix the car like you used to be able to do, I think that's big. That is big to be 15 races in. And he has finished all of them. That is a testament to him and his abilities. That is a testament to his team there at Penske. And I think that is a reason why he's sitting third in points. But people aren't talking about him a lot. I mean, they're focused in on Harvick and Busch and the guys that have won, Truex, Bowyer. But Logano has that one win, and it was early on in the season at Talladega, which everybody goes, it's Talladega. I mean, you know, there's some luck involved there. That's fine, but he's sitting third in points right now, and I think he is very underrated right now. Look for big things out of the 22 and Joey Logano. Underperformed. Now, this isn't a good award, but this is a bad one. It's going to Austin Dillon. He won the Daytona 500. That was the only time he's finished in the top five this year. He only has two top tens for his season. Now, you know, he doesn't have a DNF, which that's good, but his average finish is 18.6. His average position, just where he always seems to be, is 19.6. He's a mid-pack car, won the Daytona 500, and I know that sometimes it's right place, right time, but You would think that after winning last year and running better and be more consistent and RCR trying to get more consistent, that you would see that at Austin Dillon. You just haven't. They haven't been competitive. They haven't been good. And I know the Chevy camp has struggled in general trying to shake down the new car and to figure that out. But Austin Dillon, he's got to figure this out if this is going to work, because I mean, you basically let Kevin Harvick leave and go to Stuart Haas Racing so you could bring in your grandson and let him run the three car and bring that back. And he just hasn't lived up to the hype yet. I'm not saying he's not going to. I know it's a team thing and they got to figure their stuff out. But Austin Dillon so far has underperformed. Two more to give out. Most improved, Clint Bowyer. Has to be Clint Bowyer. 18th in points last year, zero wins, only six top fives. This year, two wins, four top fives, eight top tens, only one DNF, and he's led 308 laps. Nothing really more you can say. We've talked about it. Clint Bowyer has been so much fun to watch this year because he's such a likable guy. He's one of the most popular guys in the garage, always fun, always having a good time. For me, he is my most improved through 15 races. And finally, this is more of a prediction than an award. Second half breakout star, who I think it's going to be, well, it's going to be Harvick and Kurt Busch and Clint Bowyer's teammate, Eric Almirola. He jumped over to that 10 car, taking over for Danica Patrick. And so far this year, six top 10s. He's 11th in points. He's going to get a win. He's been putting himself in great position, and they have put him on a really good team. And that's what's been missing for Eric Almirola throughout his career. I mean, he was with the Petties, and you know, you got to love Richard Petty in the tradition, but they just don't have the competitive advantage that somebody like Stuart or a team like Stuart Haas has. And I think now that he is in top-notch equipment, you're seeing his skills. You know, is he going to be running for a championship? Not necessarily, but I do think he's going to win, and you know that would put him in the playoffs. So I think that Eric Almirola is a guy to really watch in the second half. So there you go. There are the awards here on Chasing Checkers. We'll do this periodically, especially when we have an off weekend. I think it's fun to kind of see where everybody shakes out as the season goes on. When we come back, if you missed the interview with Regan Smith from Fox NASCAR from a few weeks ago, he had a lot of really good things to say as we previewed Pocono, but I wanted to hit on the parts with him, about getting into broadcasting and getting his first win and running with Furniture Row Racing. You will hear that to wrap up the show here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on thegamenashville.com.
Here we come to the flag. Regan Smith looking for his first Sprint Cup win. Edwards, two car lengths back. Smith gets the flag, and this time he'll get to keep it.
How about that?
I love you guys, man. That's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome, yes.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and what an introduction for our next guest, Regan Smith from NASCAR on Fox, and guys that he works with now. Mike Joy, Darrell Waltrip, Larry McReynolds on the call. Regan, welcome in, and does that ever get old?
Well, no, of course it never gets old. That was a pretty special night for me and for the race team. It's funny that you mentioned the guys I work with now were on the call for that. I was literally sitting here thinking about that as I was listening to it. I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy when you think about the fact that now I call races with those guys. So it's amazing how full circle things can come sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, of course, back from 2011, the Southern 500 there at Darlington. And I do want to start there because you've kind of made that transition now from being a full-time driver. I know you're driving every now and then, but you're a pit reporter for Fox, an analyst for Fox. And what has that transition been like for you to get out of the race car and go into the booth?
Well, it was kind of one that just happened. I didn't really plan for it. I didn't really have any ambitions to become an announcer or a pit reporter. And over time, I wasn't racing quite as much last year. I was still doing a lot of Race Hub and doing a lot of TV, and the opportunity presented itself to be a part of the reporting team at Iowa last year, and I went and I did that, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And with that opportunity presented another opportunity this year, and Fox reached out and was asking about what my plans were. At the time, there wasn't really anything competitive that I felt like I would be able to get into in terms of race cars. And if I couldn't be competitive, then I certainly didn't want to go out there and just be out there. That's not my, that's not my personality. That's not my makeup. When I go out in a race car, I want to be good and I want to be the best at it. And I started looking at the options and weighing them out. And I thought, you know what, this might be something pretty cool to attempt and to try. And one thing led to another. We got a deal done and started at Daytona. I'd be lying if I told you Daytona wasn't tough. It's the first time in, I think probably 15 years almost, right, that I went to Daytona and I wasn't driving something. So that was, that was probably the most difficult part, was going down there and watching race cars hit the racetrack and knowing that, okay, I'm not going to be hitting the track in any of these cars, and especially at a racetrack that I love so much in Daytona. Once we got beyond, the first couple of practices and qualifying sessions, it got more normal. And I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of fun calling the races and being a part of the team. And a lot of that is because there are so many good people at Fox to work with. And I've learned from some of the best, in my opinion, at doing this in the business. It was a good timing for the opportunity. That's not to say I'm not going to drive something some more this year. Our schedule's done in 4 weeks, and I'm already looking at the rest of the year like, man, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do here. So I'll have to keep busy somehow.
Regan Smith on the line with us from Fox NASCAR, and you're on pit road as a pit reporter. Does it make it easier for you as a driver when basically you know the answers to a lot of the questions that you're asking? You kind of know what to expect?
Well, I definitely think it makes it easier in terms of knowing what to ask and when to ask it. I try to always kind of go with the rule of thumb. If it was something that would have aggravated me when I got asked it, I'm not going to ask those guys. And at the same time, you try not to ask something that's just blatantly obvious. If you know, you blow a right front tire and hit the wall. I'm not going to ask him what happened because we all just saw it. We all just witnessed it. And, you know, I think where the biggest advantage from being a driver comes in is knowing the race cars and knowing the lingo of what the drivers are saying and knowing if a crew chief says to take a round out of the right rear, well, I know exactly what that does to a car, and I know why they're doing that to the car. So that's probably the biggest advantages. But with that said, you know, even the folks that are in the pits with me that haven't been in a race car before, they know the sport, they know the game, they know, you know, they know every little element of it because they study it. I think it just comes a little bit easier in terms of my, you know, my progression to get up to speed with it because I've lived it as well.
When you look at the success that Martin Truex Jr. had last year with Furniture Row, winning the championship, winning a ton of races, do you kind of look at that and smile a little bit knowing that you were the one that gave them their first win as an organization, that you were part of the early days?
Well, I don't know if I smile or if I want to cry because I personally felt like it was getting ready to bust out. And, you know, when I left the team and when I got brother let go, if you want to call it that, because that's essentially what it was, we had just made some pretty significant changes there. And we were coming off of a season in 2011 where we won a race. We competed all the major races. We ran up front, and we were a threat to really win all of those. So we're coming off a pretty strong season in a season where I felt like everything was going in the right direction. Unfortunately, we lost a key person at the end of that year, or actually before the end of that year. And when we replaced him, it just didn't work out. And we did a 180. We went from climbing the mountain to all of a sudden rolling down to the bottom of it. And that was 2012. Well, we brought that person back halfway through 2012, which was Cole Pern, who was the engineer at the time. Now he's the crew chief there that we hear so much about.
Right.
When he came back, it was overnight. We picked up performance. We started getting top tens again. We started running up front. And unfortunately, it was too late for me. They had already decided that they were going to, you know, go a different direction and evaluate some other things. And, you know, it was definitely that company was definitely on the verge of doing special things back then. Now, when Martin went there, they had a very, very bad year, his first year, perhaps the worst year in quite some time that team had had. And Cole was given the crew chiefing job shortly thereafter and really just overnight turned that thing around. It's rare that you see an organization turn around as quick as they did. I think they were 25th in points in whatever his first year was, let's call it 2014. And 2015, they win a race and they finish fourth in points and make it all the way to Homestead racing for the championship. So it's been very impressive to see Martin's on top of his game right now as a driver. I think it obviously has rejuvenated his career and his, you know, mental focus when it comes to racing. And, you know, Cole, I've been very, very open in my statements about this. I believe Cole Pern is the best crew chief in the garage. I've worked with him. I know his personality. I know his mentality. And you know, that's my opinion. So I smile and I cry all at the same time. That was a long answer that probably deserved a short answer, but I had to tell the backstory.
But it was great insight. And you mentioned Cole Pern. I mean, I watch the races every week, and you know, you just see the strategy that they have and listen to him talk in interviews. He seems like he's one of the smartest guys in the garage.
He absolutely is. And you know, I think that's – you accompany the fact where Cole is extremely smart, and he's got some very, very smart people he's brought in around him. And that's – you know, I guess the key to a smart person is to try and bring in even smarter people around you, and he's done a nice job of doing that. But what I like the most about Cole is he's a guy that, yes, he's an engineer. He's got that background. He's got the intelligence. He's got those book smarts. But he is also a guy that can build that car from the ground up. He can get on the ground, weld up the chassis, design the chassis. He's raced cars himself, so he is a former driver, much like we hear of Rodney Childers and some of the other top crew chiefs right now. And he's just got a total, you know, a total basically makeup of a racer. That appears right now to be the formula that works. When you look at the guys that are really the top two crew chiefs, so to speak, and Adam Stevens, you got to throw into the mix. I don't believe he has a driving background, but another guy that can do everything on a race car. That these are the guys that are successful right now. You still have to have. You can't just be able to look at the computer and make it go fast. You got to be able to do it other ways.
It seems like we're talking about two different drivers. It's either Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch. They have won 9 races combined and 10 if you include Kevin Harvick's win at the All-Star race. Do you see, as we enter the summer months, is there going to be somebody that can challenge these two guys, or is it a two-horse race right now?
Well, I think there will be somebody that challenges them. I think you're probably going to see a couple guys that can step up and challenge them. We got to remember, a lot of seasons we see it work out this way, to where somebody takes off and they get out there very hot and they are on fire, which is what we've seen out of both Kyle as well as Kevin. But that 78's been lurking. I just don't think you can count them out quite yet. And you're going to have someone else, maybe a Brad Keselowski, maybe a Jimmy Johnson. You know, I'm not here writing off Hendrick Motorsports by any means yet, because I just feel like they're going to have to find something eventually with those cars that steps them up. And we saw it with Toyota last year, that it was well into the middle part of the season before they really hit their groove with, in particular, the Gibbs cars. The 78 was good all year long, but the Gibbs cars took a little while with that new race car. And look at the SHR cars. I mean, they didn't really hit their groove until, I would call it, Texas of last year, right before the finale. And then all of a sudden we thought maybe Harvick had a shot. So you really only – the beauty about the playoff system is you've only got to be hot for 10 races. And if you time it right, and let's not forget also that the more that you're running up front, the more that your cars are going to the NASCAR Inspection Center post-race, the more that gives NASCAR officials the opportunity to find stuff and figure out why you're so much better than the competition. And sometimes that stuff can get reined back just a little bit. We saw maybe a couple of the SHR cars struggle a little more at Charlotte than we would have expected. Charlotte, or Kevin, was just as quick. But you almost have to question if maybe things aren't getting reined back just a little bit, and they're saying, hey, wait, you know what? We don't like that. And that's all part of the ebb and flow of a season. So I certainly would put Kevin and Kyle as the favorites right now. But in my eyes, there's some other guys we can't sleep on either.
And that's Regan Smith from Fox NASCAR from a couple of weeks ago. Really good chat with him. If you want to go back and listen to the full episode, well, you just go and find all of our episodes on thegamenashville.com and also on SoundCloud and iTunes. You can go listen to the full interview. We've had Joey Logano on. We've had Matt DiBenedetto on. And, of course, Regan Smith there. And we have many more things that we are looking to schedule here in the coming weeks. So enjoy the off weekend. I know I will. And then they will be turning right when they go to Sonoma here in 2 weeks. And we will have the setup for you here next Friday afternoon on thegamenashville.com. It is Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.